tickled about the Donuts with Deacon thing, because these children, some of them, need that very positive interaction with men of faith, and that's what's happening now. And I'm grateful to Lauren for that really neat idea that I joked about Dunkin' Deacons for donuts, but it's a good thing. I'm grateful there are still many of them still back there. We have diverted from our study of the book of Luke today for Baptist Men's Day, and we're looking at a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy this morning, chapter 6. Now, Paul begins talking to Timothy and the church about this one little issue called money. And what he recognizes is something that people here don't really recognize. People still believe that money will bring them happiness. Just give me more money and I will be happy. Give me money and I'll get over the things of the world and I'll move forward. But happiness is not that. Happiness is a choice. It's not something that comes to you as a result of any action or event that takes place in your life. Keep that thought in mind. Happiness is a choice. It is not the result of any action or event that happens in your life. It's not an external thing that triggers it. We may get excited about an action or an event that takes place in our life, but happiness comes from within the person. And without that true happiness, you really can't be a man of faith, or a woman of faith for that matter. In chapter 6, I'm not going to read verses 3 through 10. Let me see if I can. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts. Paul begins here in the first part of the chapter. He is talking about things about how to avoid negative actions, negative events, things that are detrimental to our life and cause us problems. In verse 6, he talks about we need to realize this truth. That money is an earthly possession. He says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can't take anything out. There are no U-Hauls behind our hearses when our body is laid to rest. There's nothing in this life that we can take with us when we stand before the Heavenly Father. We are here for a time, but it's for a time only. Then in verse 8, he says, just like happiness, contentment is also a choice. He says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. How many people do you know that just can't be satisfied? No matter how much they have, no matter how much you give them, they always want something more in life. Then in verses 9 and 10, he says, don't fall for the lie that says that more money means more happiness or contentment. That's the thing I was mentioning at the very first. He says, those who want to get rich, they fall into the temptation and to a trap, and then into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not things, but the love of it, the love that elevates it to a height that it becomes all important in your life. That kind of love of money is the root of, the King James says, of all evil. The NIV says all kinds of evil, but it's the root of it in our lives every day. And then finally in verse 11, he's reminded us that we need to keep our priorities godly. Very difficult. We need to love people, not things. We need to love people, not money. We need to love people, not activities and events. We need to love one another. Christ said that. He even said we're to love our enemies, and that's a qualified love, but it's still a love that only God can give us. He says here, and I'll read this again in a moment, that we're to pursue certain characteristics in our life, and I'll read them. So turn with me, if you're already there, to verses 11 and following. Let me read and talk through it and share with some thoughts about our men, Baptist Men's of Faith Day with us today. He says, But you, man of God, he's speaking directly to us, guys. Flee all of this. Flee it. The things of this world. the things we think cause happiness, and can it flee those things and pursue, and here's that list, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and patience. Endurance is patience and gentleness. Then he says, fight the good fight of the faith. And he said, take hold of eternal life, to which you have been called when you made your good confession in the presence of many enemies. What was the confession that Jesus made to Pilate? He said, this is not my world. This is not what I was made to live in. This is not my kingdom. I mean, not my world. This is not my kingdom. My kingdom is of God. And we need to have that same kind of faith in our life. So, verse 13 says, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus in his sight, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, this is not my kingdom, not what you have in your hand and in your power and your authority. That's nothing compared to what my kingdom's like. He says, I charge you, Paul says, to keep this commandment without spot or blemish. I believe, the King James says, blame. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God the blessed one and the only ruler, God the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in the unapproachable light. Now that's a whole sermon right there in itself. The unapproachable light is the glory and the holiness of heaven's throne that we can't enter into except for the covering of the blood of Christ on our lives. That's what he's talking about. Whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever and forever. Now, here's what I believe Paul is telling us as a man of faith, a man of God, so that we're not a man or a person of the world. The first thing he says is that we need to flee from worldly attitudes. We're living in a world of political correctness. It just blows my mind how many things we're supposed to accept now that we as Christians have always thought and believed, according to the Word of God, not something we made up, that we've always believed and thought were wrong. We're supposed to accept. We were told 40 years ago that one little word would be turned upside down and used against the Word of God, and that word was tolerance. We were told we weren't tolerant. And today, we're called the most intolerant people in the world by the people who espouse to be tolerant. Amazing. Let me ask you questions, a couple of questions. How close do you want to get to a cliff in the dark? How close do you want your baby to wander beside a pool when you're not paying attention? How close should a pilot fly to another plane while you're a passenger? How many drops of arsenic or poison do you want somebody to put into your coffee? Okay. Interesting that I had that written down. Check that out. Okay, that's there. Okay, how close do you want to come to a bear or a mountain lion? Did you see the news report of the woman who tried to take a picture of the mountain lion or something, attacked a bobcat, attacked her, and she literally had to choke it to death? That's amazing. How close do you want to come to those kinds of things? How close do you want to come to sin? This is what Paul is saying. We don't need to even get close to it. We need to flee from it as fast as we can. You can't expect to avoid the consequences of sin if you don't do everything within your own power to stay away from it. We can't justify it and say it's just no big deal. We can't sweep it under the rug and pretend like it didn't happen. We can't pretend that we aren't affected by it, because we are affected by the sins we commit. And we can't think that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It matters in my life, and it matters in your life, and it matters in the kingdom of heaven. Sin, will take you further than you ever intended. It'll cost you more than you ever expected to pay. It'll lead you to places you never believed you'd go. And it'll cause you to do things that are unimaginable and ultimately will destroy your life. Picture it like this. Think of the one person or the people in your life that you love the most. If they knew that sin, would they be shamed? That's what we need to recognize. Paul's saying we got to flee this. Mark Sanford's name came back in the news this week. He lost his primary election calls down in the Charleston area. We all remember him as governor of South Carolina, who told his staff that he needed some fresh air and wanted to go hike the Appalachian Trail and went missing for several days and blazed Appalachian Trail all the way down through Mexico, across the Panama Canal into Argentina. It's amazing. I'm going to try that. No, I'm not. Appalachian Trail of sin will lead you to places that will destroy your life, your credibility, your family, and everything else in your life, and we got to flee it. I'm spending a lot of time here, guys, because we are temptations come our way. We are tempted so much in our life. And the world isn't backing off. It's coming at us from every side imaginable. And if you play with fire, sooner or later, you're going to be burned. If we play with sin, we will be burned also. So Paul says we need to flee the worldly. Flee from all this. Not some of this, not occasionally, but flee it all the time. Secondly, he said to pursue spiritual things. And now that's a deliberate choice, guys. We have to make this decision in our life. Look at the words and the characteristics that he talked about. He talked about righteousness. Righteousness is the character of right actions. He talked about godliness. Godliness is the reverence that is manifested in our lives in right actions. He talked about faith. That's the conviction that leads us to do right actions. He talked about love. Love is the example of our right actions. And then he talked about endurance or patience, which is the courage to continue to do the right things. And then he talked about gentleness, which is the spirit in which the right actions in our lives will be observed. I don't want to die and somebody say he was the meanest son of a gun I ever knew. But, you know, I don't want that. And you shouldn't want that. He was gentle. He was kind. He was giving. He was filled with the Spirit. All those things. So we need to remember to pursue these things very desperately. We need to flee worldly things. We need to pursue spiritual things. And then he said, we need to fight. If we've got to fight, fight the good faith, fight of faith. Now, elsewhere, Paul said to Timothy, when he was about to die, he said, I've fought the good fight. And I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Those characteristics that were just listed help us do all those things. And he says, henceforth, meaning when I die, when the judgment comes for my life, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's the crown of righteousness that all men and women will receive because of their faith, life, and actions and events in this life. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. God gives it. It's not something I earned. And not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved his appearing. Do you love the fact that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You understand the story of Jesus. You know what he did on the cross for you. The Bible says that we're in a spiritual war. And the Bible says we got to put on spiritual armor. You can't live and walk in the world and fight a spiritual battle and win it without spiritual armor. Sometimes sin comes and we have to stand up and we have to fight against sin. But we want to recognize this, guys. We don't have to fight against everybody and everything. And we don't have to have our way. It's that gentle spirit that lets God live within us. And we don't fight like the world fights. Paul said, our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's against principalities. It's against powers. It's against the rulers of the darkness of this age. It's against spiritual hosts of wickedness that are in heavenly places. We're fighting a different kind of battle because that battle is in the spiritual realm trying to take us down and send us to hell. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Holding up the armor to ward off the fiery darts of Satan in our life. Because they will come each and every day. So if you have to fight, and sometimes you have to fight, fight the good fight. But fight it God's way. Then he says to take hold of eternal life. This is kind of the key of things, guys. There's abundant life available to us right now. There's a deep fellowship and intimacy with God that's available to us right now. This eternal life is right there to take hold of right now. It's our calling. It's our destiny. It's our heritage. It's our inheritance. It's our privilege. And God has made it so for all of us. Then he says to live a blameless life. He says, while we have the opportunity, because it matters. We should live in a way that others want to know why. Did you hear that? We should live in a way, it's different than the world's way. And others should want to know, why are you that way? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you not do the things you don't do? Why? The writer of Psalms 15, he asked a very good question. He said, Lord, who will dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live in your holy mountain? Who's going to get to heaven one day? That's the interpretation there. Who's going to get there one day? Well, part of the psalm says this. It's a little small. The one whose walk is blameless. Who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. Now it goes on to say, that's not up there, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does all of these things shall never be shaken. Isn't that be a good thought, guys? To not be shaken by the things of the world. Paul said it this way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. That's what God says we ought to do. And guys, we can do it. The final thought in this passage goes back to this. This is number 6. Give it all over to God. He says in verse 13, in the sight of God. And then you go to 14, to keep this command without spot and blame. And then you go to the end of verse 16, to Him be honor and might forever. It's kind of continuous and a cumulative thing there. So I want to share with you some, just one right after the other, thoughts, guys, that we can kind of log into our minds. Joshua 1:9 tells us that we need to be strong and courageous. He actually says that's been commanded to us, guys. We're not to be afraid. We're not to be discouraged, for the Lord our God will be with us wherever we go. And so when we take that stand, when we must fight for spiritual things, be strong and be courageous. By the way, strong and courageous doesn't necessarily mean that I am the greatest fighter, the greatest hunter, the greatest athlete that's ever lived. I could be a gentle individual whose work is behind a computer screen or who is gentle in other ways. Because it has nothing to do with my actions or events. It has to do with my heart. To be strong and courageous. And that's the example that our men were asked to make as they went to the children's church and met with them for donuts for a few moments. That's what they were called to do. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:5, be humble. Be humble. And he means submit yourself. Be submissive to a higher power that's not of yourself. Said, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. And then in James 1:19-20, he says, be quick to listen. Now boy, that's just not us anymore. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone who's quick to listen, slow to speak. You notice that he said quick to listen first before he said slow to speak. And slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Got to be careful about fighting. Fighting the good fight is a spiritual battle, but we got to be careful that the anger of the human soul, the human spirit, doesn't take over and we say and do things that do not please God. In Psalm 119:9, he says, walk in the word. How many times do we say that? Over and over. It literally says, stay on the path of purity. You will not be on the path of purity if the words that you're reading are those of the world. You've got to read God's Word. You've got to know God's Word. By living according to your God's Word, he says in Psalm 119. And then in James 1:2-3, it says, face trials head on. Now here's what it says. Consider it pure joy to do that. My brothers, because whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. There are times when we disagree and we simply stand in, we don't run away. And we walk through, even if it's the valley of the shadow of death. Those things build our spiritual character, bouncing from place to place, going from job to job, quitting this and running to that and starting over here and trying something else. Those things aren't facing whatever. I don't know anybody who has a job, they don't face something that's difficult. Everybody does. And sometimes those jobs don't go well. I don't know any family that's perfect. I don't know any child who's never been disobedient. We face these things, but if we're men of faith, women of faith, if we're living in the faith, if we're walking in the Word, if we're doing the things in the light of God's Spirit, we will build up our own character and pass it on. Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will return to it. But it doesn't say they won't necessarily stray. All we can do is what God tells us to do in this life. Then Proverbs 27:17, a little bit different thought here, is a reminder that iron sharpens iron. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person can sharpen another. We need to surround ourselves with godly people, Christian men, the church. We need to surround ourselves so that we can learn as much from one another as it's possible to do. Now here's a quote that I got from somebody else and it's perfect. Most of us spend the days at work surrounded by men and women who are living by the flesh. We need to take time to sharpen ourselves through fellowship with other Christians so that we can have a positive spiritual impact upon those that we live with, we work with, we school with on a day-by-day basis. And who knows when you might have the opportunity then to say just a word about what the Lord has done. I've met a man 2 times in this community. And the first time I met him, I introduced myself. It went right over his head, and he used foul language. He talked about people that I knew, that he knew, that I walked away from that, and I'm going, wow, what happened? Doctors have sent him home to die. That was the direct quote the second time I saw him. And I said to him, really? Are you ready? And that harsh, nasty, languaged individual had a different spirit about him. And he looked at me and he said, yes, I am. And so I said, so you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he put his head down. And he said, yes. I just have to trust him now. I'd thought about many things about that. And I thought about the fact that he hadn't surrounded himself forever with spiritual men to challenge his language and the things that he was saying about others. Until the reality of eternity set in when the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do. And he said, they sent me home to die. And I said, are you ready? I have to say that to all of us men. Are we ready? Are we really, really ready? I believe we all need to get on our knees and ask forgiveness for attitudes and thoughts and language. My language sometimes can be bad when I'm out in the woods and I want to cuss a tree. You know, being honest, I know you never done anything like that. Y'all perfect, I'm not. Iron sharpens iron. Let me just say it this way. I need you as much as you need me. We need each other more than this world can tell. Don't walk away from the fellowship of believers because you get mad about a chandelier in the wrong place. Give it to Jesus. Let him love you through it. Finally, don't lose heart. There it is again. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day after day after day. You know why I don't lose heart? Because I have Jesus. I do wake up every day and thank God for life. I do pray, even especially about what God wants said right here. I seek opportunities. That second encounter with that gentleman was brief. Interrupted. But you got to walk through that door when you get the opportunity. Don't lose heart because somebody does you wrong. Don't lose heart because you didn't get your way. Don't lose heart because you disagree with the decision. Don't lose heart when Satan shows up and whispers in your ear, you can take them. Let God know how much you love him. It's going to take men and women of faith to clean up this mess we've made in America and around the world. So I'm calling on you, guys. I'm calling on you. Calling on myself to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that we've been longing to do, that we've known was right, but we failed in accomplishing. To stand up for Jesus Christ in a way that gives him the honor and the glory so that his power will be restored in the church. His power will be restored in the home. His power will be restored in our lives and God will get the glory for it. That's what I challenge you in this day. Would you pray with me? Lord, it's a hard world we live in and it's a difficult time. We don't just disagree anymore, Lord. We want to hate and kill. And that's so against your nature. Forgive us for allowing this to happen. Cause us to be renewed by your Spirit, every one of us in this room, so that when we leave here, there's no doubt in our lives that God is the God of our life. That the Lord and your Spirit is in us, filling us with your goodness and mercy. thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth chance. Thank you for just loving us. Now fill us with your presence. Speak to our hearts. Challenge, not just challenge, but call us. Call us to the ministry of faith to serve you in this wild, crazy world. And until you come again, it says, may we be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Great hymn of our faith. Let's stand. Let's sing. If God's spoken to your heart, there's something you need to respond to. Do that today. I am reminded that it is a battle out these doors. Satan doesn't want us to win. In fact, Satan doesn't want us to have one good moment in life. But God does. And God's Spirit can fill us and bless us even when we don't know the answers. Even when we don't know which way to turn. God will be there. So guys and gals, on this day of reminding us of our faith, may we stand strong in His everlasting, ever enduring, always present grace and mercy. Let me pray for us. Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you desperately. We're not perfect, but you are. We're weak, but you are strong. We're confused, but you've never been. All the things the world is after us with can be overcome by faith in Jesus Christ. So we need you, Lord. We need you now more than we've ever needed you before. Let the men rise up. Let them rise up strong in this church. To be men of faith that are examples of love and grace to the children and to everyone else. So that you will be glorified, that your name will be praised, and that God, we will see you one day, and that crown of righteousness will be ours. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.